Thanks for joining us and supporting Vicky Doe Fitness. We ask for your continued support by becoming an It's All About Health and Fitness premium member. Go to www.vickidoefitness.com/join. Again, that's www.vickidoefitness.com/join and register for a $6 monthly subscription. And remember, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we talk about eating more plants, how a plant-based diet can change your life. Research has shown that eating a plant-based diet can be good for your heart. Our health tip today is create a food and activity journal. Jotting down your eating and exercise habits may help you keep track of your healthy habits, but also help to create and foster new habits as well. Joining us today is Andy DeSantis, a registered dietitian from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He will be giving us tips on how we can learn to enjoy real healthy food. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicky Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks Bright.
Vicky, how are you?
I am fine, and we have Isaac here once again.
Yeah, always happy to have Isaac.
And glad to be here. Always happy to be
always
here.
Always happy
with,
to have
with
Isaac.
Two greats.
Well, we have Isaac Floyd, and he's our fitness wellness coordinator here at Vicky Doe Fitness. So welcome, Isaac.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. So today we talk about eating more plants, how a plant-based diet can change your life. There has been a lot of hype lately about the benefits of eating a plant-based diet, and research has shown that eating a plant-based diet can be good for your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this means eating mostly or only fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, whole grains, and meat substitutes like soy and so forth. And yes, you may cut your odds of getting heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and type 2 diabetes compared to a diet that includes a lot more meat. And today we have joining us Andy DeSantis, a registered dietitian who practices in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada area. He will talk with us today about the importance of plant-based eating, some nutritional considerations of a plant-based diet, and most importantly, how it can be delicious. Right, Isaac and Dee?
Yes.
It actually can be delicious. It's not rabbit food and all that kind of stuff we hear.
Absolutely. You do it right. It's not. It's the truth.
It can be very good.
Join the wave. Ride the wave. Join the community because it's what's in. And
it's what's in. It's trending, but that's a good trend.
Absolutely. It's the best
trending.
Trend.
Yes, indeed. So we can't wait to listen to Andy and to talk with him later in the show. Now, remember to go to iTunes and subscribe to our show. Look under It's All About Health and Fitness and write and give us good reviews. Now you got to give us good reviews because this increase our ratings on the popularity chart. So make sure you take the time to do that, and we will certainly appreciate it. Make sure you also go on our website, www.vickidoefitness.com, and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can keep in the loop of what online programs that are coming out, and we're working hard, step by step, weight loss boot camp.
Boot camp. Coming soon.
Coming soon. And
to a smartphone near you.
Yes, to a smartphone near you. I love that. We got to put that. That's a nice tagline.
That's mm-hmm. it.
Coming soon to a smartphone near you. So we want you to make sure you subscribe to our newsletter, because then we'll tell you, you know, when we're launching, we're going to be having different things happening before we launch. And so that's a good place to be. Also, we will tell you what kind of events are coming up. We got a, what, Healthy Heart, Healthy Living event coming down the pipe. And all of the latest updates you will be able to know if you get on our newsletter list.
Some big things coming soon, so you definitely want to be in the loop.
You want to be in the loop. And as always, we thank you, thank you, thank,
thank you.
You.
Thank you, thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your support. Well, Dee, I had a wonderful Easter celebration.
What did you do?
Well, I cooked as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrea, she came down, you know, because now that you know, we're older now and the kids are all grown up now, they don't come home as much, you know. So it's a big thing when somebody comes
home. It is,
It feels good to all be together, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Now, absolutely. Natalie was missing out of the equation this time, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But yeah, we had a good time and the weather was actually good then. Now it's all back to nothing nasty.
I think 12 hours we've had thunderstorms, gust winds of 50.
A little hail.
Snow and hail.
All of that.
Really?
How they say all four seasons, literally.
And rain. I mean, really?
Yeah, all four seasons, really.
Little Dorothy, little Oz.
Exactly.
Cows flying.
Really? Unbelievable. You're right.
All of that.
Cows flying and everything. I mean, really? It's necessary. It is completely
I know.
Necessary.
And it's what? It's April.
Right. So hopefully it's almost over.
I hope so.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
No, this is Northeast Ohio.
I know. And I'm traveling to Chicago for a quick trip this weekend. And I'm like, Windy hopefully City. I don't get stranded, because you know, you can take a quick
shoot.
Yeah. You can take a quick trip to Midwest and it'd be blizzard.
You next week. Might be snowed in, like going to Denver. Denver can drop like 8 feet, and then the next day it'll be gone.
I know.
But you stuck in the airport for
two days. Because they shut stuff down.
Yeah, they do.
Hopefully I'll get back without any having to stay longer. So how was your week, Dee?
It was good. I went to North Carolina. The weather was great down there to visit my mom, and she was doing well. And they're starting to have leaves come out, buds on the trees, and little flowers sprouting and stuff. And got to see my daughter, who's expecting. So there was a little bun in the oven.
Yes.
And she's having a little girl, so I went down there and did that. But it was just, they were marveling at me. I was at my daughter's house, and I went outside because they're used to nice weather, but it was 73 degrees. And I just left everybody in the house and just went outside and went on the couch and just put just soaked it up. They were like, look at Dee out there. I was like, don't bother me. It's just too nice. I don't know when I'm going to get
this
again.
You got to take it back to Ohio with you.
Oh, yeah. So that's pretty much what I did.
Okay. Well, that seems like a wonderful week.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A wonderful week. What about you, Isaac?
Actually, as we talk about airports, I spent most of Easter in the airport, but the week was good. I spent the week in California with my family for spring break, so lots of bonding. Older brother wasn't there. He just moved to Ikanawa, Japan. I think it's
Okinawa.
Not Okinawa.
Ikanawa.
Yeah, he stayed in Okinawa for a few months.
Now is he in the military?
Yes.
Okay.
So we missed him, but you know, we're going to pay him a visit soon, hopefully.
That'll be nice.
Great week.
It's no easy way to get to San Diego, right? You got to go either through Houston or go through Denver. Did you take a direct flight out to San Diego?
Well, no, we actually flew into LAX.
That's nice.
So we did a lot of driving too. A lot of sightseeing and driving.
So you drove from LA
down to
LA to Dana Point. San Diego and all in between.
Nice.
So I saw the Hollywood sign and all that good stuff. So it was good. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
a lot
good.
Of firsts.
Yes, I love. Yeah. I don't know. LA is okay. You know, people hype it up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. But
San Diego's better.
Terrible.
The traffic's awful.
Yeah, San Diego. I love San Diego.
That's my dad. He had a ball driving through that traffic. Oh, Lord.
The LA 405.
Terrible.
I have like you know, pits in the bottom of my stomach when I get out of the airport, rent my car, and get on the 405. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. just like a parking lot.
Yeah, I don't see how parking lot. People live there, honestly.
I don't either. I know.
You would get through a lot of books, though. You get the audio books.
People have like 2 or 3 hours commute.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you do. You're absolutely right.
But yeah, I like San Diego.
And then
San
remember they said, remember we had a show where the more commuting you do, you all depress and have issues. Psychological issues.
I can believe it. So New York, you know, them subways.
People do a lot of commuting because the cost of living is so high. And they have to live farther out than where they were.
Yeah, but it's better to be where you can get on the train and do more stuff. They said it's better because then you can relax and let somebody else worry about
driving, you mean.
Driving, yeah. As opposed to driving.
And the influx, and people still moving to L.A., still moving to New York.
They still are.
I don't understand it. I'll visit, but I don't know if I can stay there.
Yeah, I'll just visit.
No, I'm good here.
I'm good.
I'm straight.
I know, I'm straight, too.
That's it.
What is going on this week?
Everything, Vicky.
Well, you know, April is National Minority Health Month, and it is a time to learn more about the health status of racial and ethnic minority populations in the U.S., Now, the theme for this year, for 2018, is Partnering for Health Equity. This highlights partnerships at the federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial levels that help reduce disparities in health and healthcare. And this year, the Office of Minority Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services will celebrate impactful public and private sector collaborations that advance health equity and help improve the health of the nation. So to learn more about this initiative, we want everyone to go to minorityhealth.hhs.gov. I'm surprised they still, I know I shouldn't say that, but I'm surprised they still got staff up in there. Do they have staff?
I'm still there allowing that. I'm surprised, I shouldn't say that they're still allowing National Minority Health Month.
Really? Okay.
We're not passing any judgments here, but it's
but
just
whatever. Kind of,
but you, I mean, we're in an environment where you don't know when you wake up the next morning.
What's going on?
What's here and what's not here. And DHS is a government run organization, so you don't know. You don't know whether they're going to have a head or not, or who's going to be minding the ship, or who's on first and who's on second.
We would advise people still go and check it out and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because
they do a good job. The Office of Minority Health under DHHS, they do a really good job.
So that'll be great.
And they have a great website.
Yes, they do.
Really great
website.
Oh,
it's really interactive and everything.
Very interactive.
And they have webinars, all kinds
of
stuff.
Very, very interactive and free. I mean, something that you don't have to have passwords and all that stuff to get on.
So that's very good. Mm-hmm. Also, this is National Walking Day. So, Isaac, tell us more about that.
Yes, you guys should know that the first Wednesday in April is National Walking Day. So, the American Heart Association sponsors this day to remind people about the health benefits of taking a walk. Wear your sneakers or take them with you to work. And at some point in the day, you are encouraged to take a 30-minute walk. So, here are some great ways to make that 30-minute walk more enjoyable. So, one, wear comfortable shoes. Two, take a friend to pass the time, so, you know, making it enjoyable. Three, make sure to stretch those muscles. Four, drink plenty of water. We know that's important. Five, move your arms too. And six, make sure you have good posture. How to observe. So take 30 minutes out of your day to go for a walk and use the hashtag National Walking Day to post on social media. So join the National Walking Day community this
today. Today is the first Wednesday, April 4th.
That's it.
April 4th.
And post on social media. So a little bit of history about National Walking Day. As part of the American Heart Association's efforts to promote healthy living, National Walking Day was started in 2007. So for more information on National Walking Day, visit www.heart.org.
We are walking. I got my walking shoes on.
I see you do. I don't. I have my UGG boots on.
I got my dress shoes
but
on.
But change.
I'm sure you got some shoes in your car to change.
I do.
I know. Yeah, that's how we roll.
Ton of tennis shoes.
Yeah, Dr. Banks got the whole Nike outlet.
You know I do shoes. Brooks too. Brooks, Saucony, you name it.
That's it.
You know it. You know. Just got a new pair of Brooks last week.
There you go. My thing is Asics. That's me.
I like Asics too.
Yeah. That's my shoe of trade. I love Asics.
Yeah.
Winnie Mandela.
I know. I was shocked. I didn't realize that she had been ill. I know.
Yeah, she dies at 81. She's a South African anti-apartheid crusader. And she dies, I think it was Monday, according to CNN.
Yeah, it was, because today is Wednesday. So, yeah, that came out Monday morning.
So it says that the family said in a statement that she passed away at the Netcare Mill Park Hospital in Johannesburg, South Africa, after a long illness for which she had been in and out of hospital since the start of the year. Mrs. Madikizela Mandela was one of the greatest icons of the struggle against apartheid, the statement said. She fought valiantly against the apartheid state and sacrificed her life for the freedom of the country. And so everybody is saying that her death came as a shock.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's funny how time passes so fast. I didn't realize she was 81.
I didn't realize that she was 81 either, because you remember her from, she was the wife, former wife, because I think they got divorced, but of Mandiba, Nelson Mandela. They were married for 38 years, of which 27 of those he spent in prison. And you know, there are all kinds of movies that have been out with talking about Winnie, and so I'm sure we've all seen those movies. And when he was in prison on that island, I can't think of the name of it, but she kept the memory of her husband alive through all those years.
Yes.
You know, kept the focus on him. And he came out in 1990, I believe. They divorced in 1996, 2 years after he became South Africa's first black president.
Yeah, he was the first black president.
And they had two daughters together. And then, of course, Nelson Mandela died in 2013. So, but her life was filled with controversy,
I know.
After they divorced, then there were all, and I am not completely involved with the politics of South Africa. After Mandela sort of left as the president of South Africa, things just kind of sort of fell apart, and there were all these different factions, against, and Winnie was on one side, and people were accusing her of stuff, and so it just got somewhat ugly. I mean, even to the extent that, South Africa, I mean, I know economically they're doing well and coming about, but they've had some issues, like their prime minister or president was the one that was talking about HIV was man-made or some controversy with that. So, but, they took back their country. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
They took back their country from the many years of apartheid. And if you haven't read the book by Noah, what's his name on television?
Trevor Noah. Great book.
Who grew up during apartheid and was really a product of a mixed marriage. And his whole discussion, and he's more of your era.
Yeah. What is it? Born a Crime.
Right.
That's the book. Born a Crime.
Right. So you kind of get a feel for what it was like as a child growing up there. But rest in peace, Winnie Mandela.
Absolutely. Definitely a historical icon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
What were you saying about Maya Angelou, right?
So yeah, today is Maya Angelou's, would be her, I believe, 90th birthday. As you know, Vicky, and I don't know whether Isaac knows, she was part of my life, however briefly, for maybe 20 some years. She became an endowed professor at Wake Forest University, where my mom lives, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and my dad at the time. So it was her birthday, and birthdays for her were always a big deal. I remember going to several of her birthday parties on 4th of April, always. And the last birthday party she had, it was her 84th or 5th birthday, and it was given by Oprah in Winston-Salem. And it was, I'll never forget, she wasn't feeling well, wasn't doing well, but she came, and it was a beautiful event. Oprah transformed the post office, the old post office, into this really huge gala event. And it was a spiritual birthday. It was a gospel fest.
Okay.
And she had Donnie McClurkin, and she had Marvin Sapp, and she had the Winans, and it was a face-off.
Yeah.
It was a getting up, and Shirley Caesar, and we were all clapping, and I mean, it was like some church in there that evening.
Oh, wow.
And there were other celebrities that were there. I posted today my picture with Common. Of course, I had to put my picture with Common, who was very nice, but there were other celebrities parties there, but it was mostly a gospel fest. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time that she really was in public like that. So rest in peace.
Yes.
Our national treasure.
Absolutely. Yes. A beautiful
mind. Yet still we rise.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yet still we rise.
Also, today is remembering the assassination of the great Dr. Martin Luther King. And so on Thursday, April the 4th, 1968.
Actually, today.
Yes. King was standing in room 306 at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. And so the motel was owned by businessman Walter Bailey and named after his wife. You see that all today. People, even in this area, they're having some type of memorial.
Tonight,
and
they're
I think so.
Reverend Macklin, I think, was involved with something this evening.
Yeah, so they're doing something. Mm-hmm. Since I'm from ATL and my dad, you know, he keeps up with all our family down there. They're doing stuff all day down there and so forth. But yeah, that's been
all those years ago.
50 years.
Last night they had one of the CNN commentators, I can't think of his name, he comes on the weekends, interviewed Andrew Young and Jesse Jackson sitting down together because they were on the balcony with him that evening. And it was really the first time I had ever heard in 50 years the two of them come together and talk about the actual event. Maybe they couldn't talk about it because, I mean, it happened in moments. He walked out on the balcony. They said he looked up in the sky and, you know, it was a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden a bullet came through, hit him in the jaw, and he was gone, knocked out. And they said, they were talking about last night how the impact of the bullet and the way he fell knocked him out of his shoes. Mm. But I do remember I was in college at the time, as I was saying earlier. And then after that, all hell broke loose. Mm-hmm. Everybody started rioting in all the cities, burning and so forth. So, yeah. And I remember the funeral, you know, Bobby Kennedy spoke, and we always remember that iconic photograph of Coretta Scott King with her black veil with little Bernice King, who was around 4 years old at that time, on her lap. She was shedding a tear. So it was a time where we had just lost John Kennedy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we lost Martin. Mm-hmm. And then we lost Bobby.
Yeah.
So for those of us, the baby boomers, there was a song that came out. Has anybody here seen Abraham, Martin, and John? That was a kind of a folk song that was sung a lot during that time. So it was kind of a time, you know, 68, I'm sure they're going to talk about it more this year. 68 also was the year of the Democratic Convention where they had all those riots and stuff. So 68 was a major year.
Tumultuous year.
Very tumultuous year.
We are remembering Dr. Martin Luther King and all the great things that he did, and we are still in the trenches what we need to do.
Well, the struggle isn't over.
That's it.
Absolutely.
The struggle
isn't
over.
And I just love how we're becoming more economic.
Yeah.
You know, thinking of how we can control things, empowering our women. You know, we're still doing those things in spite of, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
The world is changing, and it is a period of redefinition, redefining identity and redefining the history that really kind of was written for us and, you know, rewriting it.
We will move on, and our health tip this week is create a food and activity journal. You can find this on Vicky Doe Fitness, written by Health Day News. Jotting down your eating and exercise habits, and this is what we always talk about here at Vicky Doe Fitness, creating a plan, jotting down your habits and keeping track. When you write these things down, your eating and your exercise habits.
And be accountable.
And be accountable and foster new ones. So then you can't sneak it in, right?
Yeah. That Snickers bar counted.
Exactly. So the American Academy of Family Physicians suggests, number one, logging what you ate and drink, starting when you woke and ending when you went to bed. Include how much of food you ate or drank. Number two, writing down what you did to exercise each day and for how long. Number three, make it a commitment to daily journaling, and thinking about what you've learned from your journal. And last but not least, keeping your journal with you throughout the day so you can stay on track without forgetting key activities like sneaking in that Snicker bar.
Mm-hmm. That counts.
Yeah. Today, we talk about eating more plants, how a plant-based diet can change our lives. Research has shown that eating more plant-based can help decrease our risk for getting chronic diseases such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and some cancers. Even if you have these diseases, eating more fruits and vegetables can help you control your health issues and you still can have quality of life. Joining us today is Andy DeSantis, a registered dietitian who practices in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada area. He will be discussing with us the importance of eating a plant-based diet. And even if we are not ready to go all out vegan, we can still learn to increase our intake of fruits and vegetables. But first, let us discuss, you know, let's find out what exactly is plant-based eating. Now, plant-based eating is eating mostly or only fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, whole grains, and meat substitutes like soy and so forth. And there are many different types of plant-based diets. The three most common ones are vegan, and that's where there's no animal products such as meat, eggs, or dairy products. Then there's the lacto-vegetarian, and that is where you do no meat or eggs, but dairy products are okay. And then there's the lacto-ovo-vegetarian, and that's where there's no meat, but dairy products and eggs are okay. Now, you can eat a plant-based diet without going completely vegetarian, right, Isaac?
Absolutely, and I think that is definitely key. I think we'll talk about this a little more later, but as humans, we oftentimes we feel like we have to pick, like we have to either go completely vegan, vegetarian, no meat, or we just eat what the heck we want. But there is a middle ground and there is a spectrum, and falling somewhere on that spectrum closer to, you know, eating more vegetables can have tremendous health benefits.
I believe so, too. And right, Dee, what do you think
Absolutely.
About that?
I like the flexitarian aspect of it, because I think, you know, some of us tend to go overboard if we, you know, pick one or the other. And I think then you start craving stuff. Your needs or whatever aren't satisfied. And then you go over on the other board. So I think, you know, as we talk about moderation and being flexible, I think is probably, for me, works a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when it comes to a wellness journey and being your best self, it includes eating well, but it also does not include depriving yourself of the things that you enjoy. So you want to find that middle ground where you can still eat what you want and also kind of add those flavors that you love to, you know, those fruits and vegetables and those healthy foods. It doesn't have to be different.
Right. It doesn't have to be different. So yeah, some people call themselves flexitarians or semi-vegetarians.
I like that.
Me too. What it means is they occasionally eat their meat, their poultry, their pork or fish. And then you also may hear people, and I hear this a lot, where they call themselves pescatarians, and that means that they eat a plant-based diet, but they add fish to their diet.
Yeah.
So there's many ways that you can do, but what we say here at Vicky Doe Fitness, just increase your plant-based eating. Eat more fruits and vegetables, whatever diet you're on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the question is asked, how can you successfully start eating more plant-based? Number one, start eating more fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, nuts, and seeds, depending on how far you want to take it. Then also cut back on animal products, or some people eventually will cut them out. And then, of course, you know, when you start changing your diets, and especially if you're doing plant-based, you definitely need to consult with your registered dietitian to make sure that you're getting the nutrients that you need. For example, you might have to take a supplement, especially for vitamin B12, or look for other foods fortified with vitamin B12 if you are totally cutting out animal products. And here's something else that I always tell people that they don't realize. Mushrooms, an actual plant that has vitamin B12 in it.
Mushroom. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. That's a latest research. So look that up. So that's why I tell people, look, grab, you know, do some mushrooms, you know, because we always talk about fortified, but mushrooms actually has.
I didn't realize that either.
Vitamin
and
B12.
The great thing about mushrooms, as we talk about, you know, vegetable or plant-based eating, mushrooms, anybody who loves mushrooms or have ever had mushrooms, you know, they're pretty fleshy. They're kind of a fleshy vegetable, mm-hmm. so they're a great meat substitute, whether you're doing a, you know, burger. We all have probably seen portobello burgers mm-hmm. or even tacos.
And they fill you up.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to showcase at our
portobello tacos.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, yes. I'm excited.
Recipe coming soon.
Ooh. Yes, so we're going to showcase that
Love
at our
it.
Cooking demo.
Okay.
Yes. Also, what I've tried, too, because a lot of talk about mushroom is, oh, it doesn't taste like anything, oh, this and that. So I try, you know how we marinate chicken and everything? Uh-huh. I tried marinating the portobello mushrooms. Very good.
Mm. I can do
so. That's
it.
A trick we got to do.
I can believe.
We
got to
marinate
sure.
that.
Marinate your mushrooms.
Yeah. Marinate your mushrooms.
That's a new sure. one right there.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So that's a little trick it. Of my trade.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Definitely check with your dietitian because then they can check and do all your looking at your meal plans. Also do your blood work to make sure that you're getting enough iron, calcium, and zinc.
Because I can see a portobello mushroom. Lettuce wrap.
Yes.
You know,
definitely.
I'm just yes.
here.
That
can
sounds
dig
good.
It.
The Vicky Doe Fitness Cookbook.
There you go.
That's how I do.
Also, too, to successfully start eating more plant-based, you can decide to swap out the dairy products for rice milk, nut milk, soy milk, other plant-based alternatives. And you want to make sure that you check the label to make sure that you're getting calcium and vitamin D. You can also make sure to get your proteins without your meat. And how you do this is to do more beans and lentils and nuts and seeds and quinoa. We always talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or tofu. And last but not least, you still need to stick with the guidelines, your doctor's guideline. Make sure you're checking on your fat, your calories, your sugar, and salt. Because even though you're not eating animal products, you still want to make sure you don't have a lot of the fat, calories, and sugar and salt. And that's my pet peeve. You know, when people say, oh, I'm vegan. Then you look at their plate and it's full of pancakes and syrup.
Or French fries.
Or French fries.
I had a vegan.
Right.
I had
exactly.
a vegan tell me, she said, I said, what's your favorite salad? She tells me she's a vegan. I said, what's your favorite salad? She says, only salad I eat is potato. I said,
wow.
Really?
Right. So right. you're going to become a vegan to be wow. type 2 diabetic anyway if
right.
you eat
and
like that.
I tell people too also, I mean, even though you're vegan and even though you're eating all these foods, let's mm-hmm. face it, they do add up calorie-wise.
Yeah, so you still got to watch
so
it.
So you can't do our famous pile high and deep.
Right.
You know, you cannot have like 4 cups of lentils because that's going
right. to...
The calories and carbs will add up on you, especially if you're diabetic
right.
and stuff. So
right, so you still...
Everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation.
And I think people hear the word plant-based and they think they can go overboard.
Yeah, no. You still got to watch
still,
what you eat.
It's still... You got to steal calories in, calories out.
Right.
But the great thing is, too, with veganism, and we're not talking French fries and pancakes, but
right.
eating more vegetables, you'll definitely find yourself more full and satisfied.
You will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because a lot of the times when you're hungry, we've talked about this before, but it's not... necessarily the food that you're craving, but it's the vitamins and the minerals and the vegetable-based,
exactly.
plant-based diet will give you that. And you'll
right.
find that your brain and your body is a lot more satisfied a lot
exactly.
of the time.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So even, so like you said, even piling your plate with these wonderful foods, after a while you're going to get full quickly
yeah.
because of the fiber.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's even when we talk about fruits too. Because, you know, fruits, yeah, they have sugar in them, but it's the natural sugar. And because it has, a lot of fruits have that water and that fiber,
right.
you're going to fill up quickly anyway.
Absolutely.
And I'd much rather you grab some fruit if you have a sweet tooth than to go grab that cookie.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's
exactly.
going to give you more energy over a longer
yeah.
period of time, and it won't abuse your insulin system like a lot of processed foods will.
Right.
So fruits and you really can't go wrong.
So more fruits and vegetables.
That's the message of the day.
That's it.
You ride the wave because it is definitely popping. It's definitely popular, the whole vegan
mm-hmm.
diet and plant-based
mm-hmm.
diet. And so this is a good wave to jump on.
Yeah, you see people turning. I mean, you see a lot of people going that in that direction.
Yes.
I think, you know.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now let's listen to Andy DeSantis now.
Yes.
Here with us today is Andy DeSantis. He's a registered dietitian who operates his practice out of the Health in Davisville Clinic in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Now, Andy offers a variety of nutrition services as well as an awesome blog. Andy will talk with us today about the importance of plant-based eating, some nutritional considerations of a plant-based diet, and most importantly, how it can be delicious. So how are you, Andy?
I'm really good. I'm really, really good and happy to be here.
Yes, we are so happy for you to be here as well. So let's start out with explaining what a vegan diet is and how it is different from a vegetarian diet.
That's a good question. Essentially, you know, let's start off by saying a vegetarian diet is more flexible. So a vegetarian might have milk, they might have fish, they might have eggs, whereas a vegan really won't have any food of animal origin. So they won't have, it's not just a matter of not eating meat, it's anything that comes from an animal. So it's milk. Even, you know, many vegans won't have honey because that involves, you know, potential abuse or perceived abuse of bees for producing the honey in captivity and things like that. So it's kind of a next level. It's like next level vegetarianism is probably the best way to describe it.
And then I've heard that some folks, especially those that follow the forks over knives movement, they don't even do oil because they consider that process. What do you think about that?
I'll say this about oil, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what oil gives us, which is, you know, the healthy fat, we can get that from nuts and seeds and avocado, and those foods actually also contain fiber that helps keep us feeling full. So oil's cool if you want to use it in a moderate amount, mm-hmm. but if you want to live your life without it, you know, that's all good too. It's made to look healthier than it is. Now, it's fine for you, but it's not some sort of superfood that kind of it's made out to be on occasion. That's my opinion anyway. You can live without oil if you had to. I don't recommend someone omits it, but you know, if someone doesn't want to eat it, it's not the biggest deal.
And you made an interesting point about the honey. I actually didn't know that. There's the ethical component of veganism with animals and the proper treatment of animals, but we hear a lot that with milk and dairy, that milk's not made for humans. You know, baby cows should drink milk, humans shouldn't drink milk. And there's a lot of, you know, conversation around milk and dairy as it relates to mucus buildup. What do you think about that from a health aspect of veganism versus vegetarianism?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And yeah, obviously you hear that argument a lot. I would rather not like defer to that argument. I think that that can go either way. That whole milk is belongs to baby cow type things. What I would say is this, you know, like, the things that we get from milk that are actually the most useful, the vitamin D and the vitamin A, which in fact most people fall short in, those are actually fortified. So those aren't even naturally occurring in cow's milk.
Right.
So from that perspective, it's like, okay, you know, so the most important things from cow's milk are actually added after the fact, the most important things we need. So there's that component that comes into question. But at the end of the day, you know, obviously milk has calcium as well. That's quite important. At the end of the day, like, of all the animal products, cow's milk is probably, you know, the least associated with negative health outcomes. Like, it's nowhere close to, like, red meat or anything like that. I personally, like, I would rather tell someone to have, you know, fortified soy milk or something like that, because one of the big issues that I find is that we all rely so much on animal products. Obviously, I eat animal products, nothing wrong with that, but one of the things that most of us can do, you know, from an ethical perspective, from a health perspective, is to eat less animal products, because that's generally associated with better health outcomes. And an easy way to do that, people don't want to give up meat, that's cool, but an easy way to do that, milk is an easy swap for me. It's easier to swap cow's milk for soy milk. So that's kind of an easy sell for my clients. So that's kind of the angle I come to it as. But hey, if you like dairy and you want to drink milk, it's not that big of a deal, you know. Choose lower fat varieties and, you know, in moderation, it's definitely a helpful food.
Andy, do you include the almond milks in there as well?
So almond milk, you know, if it's fortified, that's fine. Almond milk won't have protein, which means that may not keep you feeling as satisfied, as full as cow's milk or soy milk will. Keep in mind, though, most people get enough protein, so it may not be a big deal. So if almond milk is fortified, Sure. I would consider in the same category.
Because I know some women want to stay away a little bit, some of them, from soy with the issue of estrogens and breast cancer and all of that. So that's always something that I think about. But I'm getting back to the oil issue. I think, Andy, that because that for me, that was always like, how do you saute without oil? But I think when Vicky was talking about that book, Forks Over Knives, physician who was one of the authors in it, Caldwell Esselstyn, who was from, really was one of my old mentors at the Cleveland Clinic. The issue with the oil came with coronary artery disease. And so I think their point was for the vegans, those individuals that were concerned about coronary, well, I mean, I guess everybody should be concerned about coronary artery disease, but if you were really concerned about coronary artery disease, the issue was the using of the oil with vegans was associated a little bit more with coronary artery disease than not. They just, I saw a thing by them, and they were teaching everybody to saute in vegetable broth or something like that.
Right.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I that's interesting. I haven't heard oil consumption being associated with heart disease. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is this: like when it comes to oil, like keep it to the bare minimum. People always ask me, you know, what type of oil is the best? What type of oil I should use? Mm-hmm. Really, what I say is you should use so little that it really doesn't matter. And I think that's kind of a safe answer. So, hey, if you like a certain type of oil and you like how your food tastes when you use half a tablespoon of oil a day to prepare it, you know, just do that. It's not really going to have a really significant effect on your health overall. Mm-hmm. That's probably my best advice regarding that.
Okay, so why do you think folks are choosing? Because we hear, you know, most people are talking about that they're vegan these days. Or does it just seems that it is because, you know, people are talking about it? That's the buzzword. I don't know if it's just the buzzword or the trend that folks are trying to be cool in. Or is it happening? What do you think?
I honestly think there's just a lot of implications with going vegan or going more plant-based. So, so vegan's cool, but even eating more plants than you used to is good too.
Absolutely.
And obviously there's ethical stuff. That's fine. That's one thing. Okay. There's economical things like eating plant-based is cheaper. You know, lentils and tofu is a lot cheaper than steak. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is the social media aspect. All right. Veganism is really trendy, like you said, on social media. And, you know, people like trends and they like how, you know, they like to be part of a movement, something that feels valuable. But then the really big thing is the health component, right? And kind of facing the reality that people who eat more plant-based protein sources and people who are vegan and vegetarian tend to have healthier weight. They tend to have a lower risk of diabetes, a lower risk of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
All those things combined are fueling the fire, and which is why we have more vegans today than ever before. And that's basically it, I would say.
I think you make a great point with saying just eating more plant-based products, eating more vegetables. I think as humans and as people, and we are extremists. So I want to ask you, do you think that it is necessarily the omission of meat and the omission of animal products as much as it is increasing your vegetable consumption, increasing your vegetable-based proteins and overall vegetable consumption that people experience a lot of these benefits? Like, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, since I went vegan, you know, my skin's cleared up, I have more energy, I feel more awake, you know, I just feel more healthy, I feel less heavy. Do you think that is the absence of meat or simply, like you said, you know, having more vegetables in your diet?
Yeah, that's like a really good question. And I don't ever encourage someone to go vegan. What I encourage is shifting the ratio of plant and animal foods, which is like literally exactly what you said. Obviously, eating more fruits and vegetables, number one. Most of us don't eat enough. Those are the most important foods in the diet. But beyond that, it's okay, having lentils or tofu a few more times a week than steak, than bacon, than a burger, you know what I mean? That choice to more consciously choose plant-based sources of protein, you know, more, whatever the case may be, soy milk, tofu, legumes, less red meat. It's that choice which is conferring the health benefits, you know. So you're right. It's not necessarily always about omitting meat. And I think, quite frankly, most people in the world are just not ever going to be interested in doing that. And that's just the reality. And that's totally fine. But what it is about is, you know, changing the ratio. And that's really what I advocate for. more. This is changing the ratio, which is basically exactly what you said.
Absolutely. And here at Vicky Doe Fitness, we talk about being flexitarian and flexitarianism and how you don't have to be so, you know, rigid. It doesn't have to be this extreme. You don't have to be part of the vegan club or part of the eat whatever I want club. You can eat, you know, a lot of vegetables and have your spinach and have all that and enjoy a burger on occasion, but make these burgers and things like that. Make them just that. Make them occasion. So absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's it. Exactly.
Well, there are some things to consider with a plant-based diet because, you know, folks that do become vegan, they still have to worry about if they get enough of, especially the vitamin B12, because, you know, you get that from the animal. So what are some nutritional considerations and some guidelines you would give folks just in general if they decide to be completely plant-based eating? What suggestions?
The first thing I would say for anyone who's jumping into going more plant-based, there's a few again. The first thing I would say is fortified almond and soy milk really, really help, okay, because they have vitamin B12 and they have vitamin D and they have other nutrients that will help you fill in the gaps. So when you drink fortified milk, it's like, again, fortified soy or almond milk, it's kind of like taking a multivitamin to a certain extent. So it kind of helps cover you. So I would say minimum 2 to 3 cups a day fortified soy or almond milk. That's a great baseline for anyone who's jumping into the vegan train, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's a starting point. The next really, really important consideration is understanding about iron. This is something that I've seen vegetarians and vegans who have been doing it for years, and they still don't understand how iron is different when you're a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just talk about that briefly.
Okay.
So there's iron in animal products, in red meat, okay? That's absorbed by your body at a high level. But then there's also iron in plant products, like nuts and seeds and cereal and tofu and legumes. That iron is not absorbed as well, unless you eat that iron in the presence of vitamin C, okay? So that's the number one takeaway message that I'm going to give today. If you are a vegan or vegetarian, know that you need to get iron from legumes, which is lentils and chickpeas and beans, nuts and seeds, tofu, things like that, but that you have to have it with a source of vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to list some sources of vitamin C right now for the people who are listening. Red pepper, kiwi, orange, strawberries, broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts, mango, cauliflower. Eat foods with iron with foods with vitamin C, and you'll be good. That's probably my number one message.
But it's a lot of things like that. And that's why we always tell folks, too, because, you know, some people get caught up on doing the supplements, you know, but we always say that a lot of the absorption, you have to have, you know, vitamin A with something else or vitamin D with something else. You just don't take the supplements just by itself. So that's a good point about the whole plant iron and vitamin C. Keep your plates colorful, right?
That's it. And that's where being creative really comes in and having real truthful information and utilizing good resources and being creative, like, you know, having your chili, your beans with tomatoes, you know, giving you that good combination. So having those good, honest resources will help any vegan because, as they always say, you know, veganism, vegetarianism, plant-based diet can be phenomenal when it's properly planned for.
Andy, I find that it's really fun going to the grocery store. I'm trying to do more plant-based myself and exploring more vegetables that I didn't know about, like bok choy. And the other day I discovered Napa cabbage and leeks. And what it's forcing me to do is to go and look up recipes to make these new vegetables, you know, using my crock pot and stuff like that. And season them for taste, because those are, again, newer sources, other sources of vegetables other than just your greens and your kale and so forth. So I'm just finding a whole new world of exploring different, you know, vegetables in the grocery store.
Yeah, and your body's gonna thank you for that. You know what I mean? You know, different fruits and vegetables and different varieties of food and different varieties of nuts and seeds all have slightly different benefits to them, even though they're similar foods. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that that's helping you do that, that just shows you, you know, in itself that it was a worthwhile kind of, you know, endeavor for you to try. So you're getting the benefits of that already.
Unfortunately, we make excuses. the number one I always hear is, oh, it's too expensive to be eating like that. It costs so much. So what would you tell folks, you know, because we do need to eat more plant-based. And you said earlier that it's actually cheaper. So explain that.
What I would say is this, like the thing for that argument, the easiest thing to say is, like, okay, let's look at legumes like lentils and chickpeas. Like, per gram of protein, like, the price is extraordinarily low. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So plant-based protein, especially from legumes, mm-hmm. is very, very, very economical, okay? Especially if you're comparing it to most meat options out there, okay? Like, whatever, chicken breast is very popular, chicken thigh, whatever the, you know, eggs. Eggs are obviously not as expensive, but the price point for lentils is so low, for example, and chickpeas, it's so low that you can't really say that eating those are going to cost you more money. There's no question. Now, obviously, fruits and vegetables are expensive, but one of the probably the best things anyone can do with that is to get more familiar with, like, seasonality in their area, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Understanding what's, like, in season and supporting local farmers and farmers markets and stuff like that. And yeah, maybe in the winter you're not going to be able to have the same mm-hmm. selection you had during the summer. That's kind of part of it as well. Overall, omitting meat or eating less meat and more plant-based protein stuff is cheaper. I mean, there's no question, especially if you're choosing moderate to high-priced meat items. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I would say.
I mean, do you, because everybody, I mean, I think when again, as Vicky said, when people talk about plant-based, the immediate thing is, well, you got to run to Whole Foods. I don't know if you have that in Canada.
Oh, yeah, we do. We have that. Yeah.
But you don't have to do that, right? And this, I mean, what's your opinion about this whole organic? I mean,
right.
Do you have a preference for organic fruits and vegetables or not? Or does it matter to you if you're doing plant-based? What's your opinion?
I would say, in all honesty, like, organic is, if that resonates with you and you have the money to spend, you can get organic, no problem. But the most important thing is to eat fruits and vegetables. I don't care if it's organic or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's for most people, I would say that's irrelevant. If you have financial flexibility and you like the idea that there's no synthetic pesticides and no GMOs and, you know, whatever the case may be, stuff that really, we don't have any evidence that actually affects our health. Let's keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if that resonates with you on a personal level and you want to do that because you have the money, you do it. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sweat about it. It's not an important decision for your health. You have to eat fruits and vegetables, okay? Like, whether they're organic or not, it doesn't matter. That's kind of the bottom line.
Some people, that, like we said, they don't want to go all out vegan, but what are the suggestions then? How can they do a percentage-wise where they do plant-based and what kind of meat, though? Should it be lean, mean, or even though, you know, they might not want to be all vegetarian or vegan, but they can still do more plant-based. So we talked about the flexitarian
right.
dash. What are the suggestions?
Super easy suggestions. First of all, you know, go out there and, you know, have some at least one or two plant-based meals a week. Better yet, go one day a week where you have no animal products. You know, mm-hmm. just one day. Maybe you'll have lentils for your protein that day. You'll have soy milk, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out there, find a lentil recipe or a chickpea or a bean recipe you like, and try it.
Mm-hmm.
Start with that. Try mm-hmm. find a tofu recipe that you like and try it. You don't have to put any artificial limits or restrictions on it. You know, just go out there and try a new recipe for a plant-based protein source and go from there. That's pretty much it. And my guess is that you'll actually like what you see. And you'll actually just want to have that stuff more often, and it will be a natural thing, and you won't have to really think about it.
Do you have a burger every now and then?
Yeah, obviously. Like, no one's saying not to have a
right.
the foods you enjoy, the foods that make you happy. Like, mm-hmm. that's no one is saying that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Unless you watch certain documentaries, then they may be saying that, but I'm definitely not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
All I'm telling people, and how I practice myself, is I try and eat more lentils and tofu this year than I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I try and do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's all anyone really has to do. Of course, you have your burger, you have your chicken fingers. I love chicken fingers, you know what I mean? Like, it's not about not eating the foods that you enjoy, that make you happy. It's just about, you know, putting some more thought into alternatives for the sake of your health at the end of the day, if nothing else.
Absolutely. And I think keeping an open mind is also important because, like you mentioned, tofu. I have a friend, formerly a very proud carnivore. She's really trying to make a switch to plant-based and get her kids on it as well, which of a lot of people, that's also a barrier, is kind of getting their family on board and having right. that social support. But she was surprised. She did a tofu lasagna recipe where she did kind of the tofu instead of the cheese, and she loved it. Her kid loved it. She was shocked when her kid, you know, was really inhaling the food. But the tofu sauce, the tofu, you know, pasta sauce, when you blend it up, blends up really easy. Yeah, there's a lot of different opportunities. And I think keeping an open mind and being creative and really finding the joy in it and really kind of joining that community. Like you said, it is a trend and it is an online community and it's really a great community to be a part of. But keeping that open mind, I think, is vital as well.
Do you also, though, Andy, stress to your clients, though, you know, because everybody talks about plant, I mean, you mentioned it too, plant-based and vegetarian associated with better weight and so forth, but do you also stress to your patients that, or your clients as well, that you have to increase your exercise, your workout,
ask about that,
and so
yeah.
forth, that it's not just all about eating?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, the thing is for me is like when people come to see me, I don't actually talk about exercise that much because mm-hmm. it's not really my specialty. So like I'm a dietitian. I mm-hmm. talk about food basically. So yeah, I'll tell someone, yeah, you know, like, you know, I'm like, exercise is good for you. You know, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really prescribe exercise.
Gotcha.
And the one thing I would say is this, everybody eats every day. But there's a lot of people in the world who don't exercise, and they're probably never going to exercise because they don't really want to, but they're still going to eat. So, which means that food is always, 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 always something that you can modify in someone. Exercise, some people, yeah, some people, no.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's no question exercise is important for your health. I mean, there's no question about that. It's just not my, it's not really my specialty, but I obviously encourage it, you know what I mean?
Do you work out and exercise?
I do more now than ever before. You know, I play soccer and, mm-hmm. you know, I do some weights. I do yoga. You know, mm-hmm. I'm far from the fittest guy, but, you know, I definitely put some time into it because I enjoy it.
This has been great. And we want you to close out with some tips for someone who wants to start eating more plant-based and vegan type of eating. You know, give us some pointers. What tips would you give to folks?
Okay, well, the first tip I like to give is not to repeat what I already said. I'll also say something different. Have a handful of nuts and a piece of fruit every day for a snack. If you are a vegan or a vegetarian, iron, like I said, is a concern. Nuts and seeds have iron. Fruit has vitamin C, so they're a perfect snack to go together. It's a very healthy snack to have anyway. So that would be like a quick little takeaway tip that pretty much everyone could do is to have a handful of nuts or a quarter cup of nuts with a piece of fruit instead of, you know, a muffin or whatever else you grabbed or a bagel with butter. Do that for a snack. That will take you places.
Do you prefer any nuts over any others, Andy? Because people are always, you know, I don't want to eat the ones that have too many calories or too much whatever. Are there any particular nuts that you prefer?
Honestly, not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could argue that, okay, walnuts have omega-3 fatty acids, which mm-hmm. a vegan can't get because they don't eat fish. So you might argue that, but mm-hmm. in all honesty, variety is important.
Okay.
Myself, personally, I like pumpkin seeds, I like almonds.
Mm.
So you should probably just have the ones you like,
okay.
you know what I mean, realistically. But, hey, if you want to have a variety, go for it. Myself, personally, I like almonds and pumpkin seeds. I don't really want to have other ones. So that's what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you have them, that's a starting point. You go from there. There's no superior nut or seed.
Well, Isaac, do you have anything else to say?
I think that vegetables are the key to life. I always tell people as it gets cold and people are getting sick, you know what I mean? Make sure you're eating your vegetables because vegetables in themselves are a multivitamin. So if there's anything I think people can get from this episode is that, you know, love you some vegetables.
So how can people get in touch with you, you know, because they can go to your blog. Tell us, you know, how we can get in touch with you.
For sure. Well, yeah, there's two ways. One way is my blog, and you can go find my blog on my website, which is andyvrd.com. And that's also my Instagram account, which is my other thing that I spend a lot of time on. So I do a lot of really fun stuff on Instagram. So it's andyvrd. It's A-N-D-Y-T-H-E-R-D. And that's my website and my Insta. And, yeah, if people connect with me there, that would be awesome. And there's a lot of good content. You'll get a lot of great, interesting advice. and a couple of laughs along the way too.
Absolutely, I'm about to say you got some
food jokes.
unmatched food humor on Andy's Instagram. So definitely check that out.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, Andy.
Now, this ends our show. And Dee, do you have some tips that we should think about?
Well, I think Andy was great. You know, I liked his approach of not being too strict about anything. I think his take-home message was increasing your plant-based intake. You know, it's okay to mix it up a little bit, but he gave us sort of a map of gradually going for more plant-based, less meat, and also some choices, some other choices that we hadn't thought about, too. And I think he stressed also the take-home message, because you did keep talking about beans and legumes, which I think people forget about as being a great source of protein and so forth. So
absolutely.
He was great.
Yes, he was. And I also like that he said, you know, yeah, we shouldn't get all caught up, you know, because we do get all caught up on whether we cook with this oil or that oil, you know. Even though, and we talk about the omega-3 in olive oil, and that's a good oil, but it's still, we still have to make sure we don't go overboard with our cooking with oil.
Absolutely. Exactly. You watch some of those cooking channels, and
they just pour it in there, don't they?
Yeah.
Olive oil soup, like, nah, that's too much.
Right, it is.
Because those, you know, fat is high in calorie, the oil.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like his message of, you know, you don't have to deprive yourself of a lot of the things you enjoy, and there's a spectrum, and falling somewhere on that spectrum is what's important. And yeah, if you check out his stuff, his website and his blog, he encourages, you know, if you're not ready for that complete leap into veganism, do a vegan breakfast, do a vegan day.
Exactly.
Do a couple of vegan meals a week.
Right.
So, and doing that, you'll find tremendous benefits as opposed to just kind of eating what you want all the time. So,
yeah, vegetables. And I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pick a day where you say, you know, today I'm going to eat all plant-based today.
Right.
And at least get, what, 1 or 2 days in a week?
Yeah. That's it. And the more you do it, the better you feel, and the more you'll want to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as always, for more information, go to our website, www.vickidofitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook, and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@vickidofitness.com.